Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I call the War for the Free World. A man I've been privileged to have as a comrade in that war for quite some time is Clifford May. He is the president as well as the founder of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, an absolutely superb organization in Washington, D.C. He currently is a columnist at the Washington Times, where he writes the Foreign Desk column. He is a journalist by training, having served, among other places, overseas on the various bureaus of the New York Times. Also has been a very prominent figure among conservative circles, indeed identified in 2008 by the Daily Telegraph as one of the 100 most influential conservatives in America. A good man, a good friend. Welcome back, Cliff May. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be with you.
Well, much to talk about, Cliff. You have been writing brilliantly at the Times about, among other things, the Iran deal that the administration seems determined to obtain, no matter how bad it is. Let's talk, first of all, about this gambit of the administration of sort of claiming that it will not be legally binding. And what would the benefit be to the United States of an agreement of this fashion that would not be legally binding on the Iranians?
Well, it's very strange. We only know about this because Senator Cotton and the other Republicans who wrote the letter to Iranian leaders trying to explain the Constitution evoked a response from Foreign Minister Zarif, in which he gave us a clue as to Obama's strategy that President Obama did not give us. So what we're talking about here, it appears to be an agreement that would not be binding. If it's not binding on Iran, I'm not sure I understand the purpose of it. But what we found out since is that Obama apparently is thinking of going not to Congress, going around Congress, going to the United Nations and having the United Nations Security Council establish this, enshrine this agreement as law, so that the United States and Iran would both be bound by the UN, by international law. Now, this among the things this misses is the fact that for years, Iran has been bound by international law and has consistently violated international law. We have UN resolutions in place that prohibit Iran from doing exactly what it has been doing on the nuclear weapons portfolio. The other thing that should concern every American, though not least conservatives, is by going around Congress and cutting Congress out and going to the UN, President Obama would be surrendering a historic amount of American sovereignty to the United Nations, making the United Nations above Congress and above the Constitution. This is something that the proponents of global governance have long wanted, but it's something that people like you and me have long resisted.
Yeah, you've properly described them as transnational progressives, or as some of our friends have called them, transies. And this really is a stunning sort of double whammy, Cliff May. You've described in your columns and elsewhere serious problems with this agreement as it is developed, replacing those relatively robust UN sanctions resolutions with essentially carte blanche, it seems, for the Iranians to maintain the infrastructure and presumably the launch pad for having the nuclear weapons they've long sought. What makes this so troubling, Cliff, is compounding it with this assault on our sovereignty and the constitutional processes of the Congress oversight of these kinds of agreements is really horrific. But then there's this whole other problem, and that is the fundamental nature of the Iranian regime. And you've been there, you've seen these guys up close and personal, as they say. Talk about what it means when, among others, the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, talks about death to America, as he did, you know, in the midst of these negotiations just recently.
I'm sure he means that in the kindest, most generous and peaceful possible way.
Yeah, and that he has in mind actually effecting it rather than having it happen on natural causes. Yeah. What's so alarming is this kind of behavior is going on, as Bibi Netanyahu pointed out, simulated attacks on our carriers, overthrowing of governments in the neighborhood, and yet we're pretending as though none of that has any bearing on the deal. What's up with that?
And the reason we're laughing is because so many mainstream major league journalists hear him say, know that he is saying death to America, saying it frequently, saying it currently during the negotiations, and dismiss it as though it had no meaning, or say, well, that's just the hardliners. The moderates really don't want to kill us. They just want to, I don't know what, diminish us greatly. But the supreme leader is called the supreme leader for a reason. This is not a democracy in which you have the kind of the right wing on one side and the left wing on the other side. The supreme leader, who himself says death to America, and takes that legacy from the first supreme leader, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, believes that the purpose of the Iranian revolution is meant to be a global revolution, is to destroy the United States, destroy the alliance and dominance of crusaders and Zionists, and replace that with Muslim power and glory once again, hopefully under a regime in Tehran. That's what it's about, and President Obama seems to refuse to look that reality in the eye.
Cliff, I think FDD, as it's called, has been probably as influential as any in making the case that sanctions should be maintained against the Iranian regime, that we should not enter into a bad deal. But talk a little bit about what happens if we do, in terms of legitimating this regime and effectively greenlighting the continuation of the kind of conduct that we've seen, whether it's their military buildup or their threats to the neighborhood, notably but not exclusively to the state of Israel, and for that matter to us.
Well, the negotiations were meant, or so we were told, to prevent this regime, which is the world's leading sponsor of terrorism, which has hegemonic ambitions immediately in the Middle East and death to America as its long-term goal, from obtaining a nuclear weapons capability. At this moment, from what we understand, and the president and Secretary Kerry are not very transparent in terms of what they're offering, but we've had leaks and we've had revelations from the Iranians. It does appear that, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, we are not stopping their path to nuclear weapons capability. We are paving that path for them. We are giving them a way to do it. That way may come in, say, 10 years with a sunset clause that at that point, no matter what their behavior, would welcome them into the nuclear club as a full member. Or it may come through a giving them the possibility of a one-year breakout. There is a piece in today's Washington Post that I highly commend to you. It is written by three authors, Ray Takai, who worked in the Obama administration, who is an Iran expert, Ali Hanenen, who was an IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency inspector, and General Michael Hayden, who, of course, was CIA director and director of the National Security Agency as well. What they say is that a one-year breakout period is insufficient if you expect in that time to detect a violation, establish a violation, and have an international response under Security Council direction. It will not happen. It can't happen. That is insufficient time. This should be an intellectual tsunami coming through Washington today, though I fear the usual suspects will simply ignore it.
I fear they will, too. But thank you for bringing it to our attention, and we commend it to all of our listeners. Cliff May, we've got about a minute left. Just very quickly, what would you say, based upon your considerable experience in Washington and observing international affairs, is the current state of U.S.-Israeli relations against the backdrop of this incipient deal?
Well, look, I think the public is still broadly in support of Israel against its enemies, all of whom are our enemies as well, because they are self-declared jihadists and Islamists. But President Obama is doing things certainly to deteriorate support for Israel, particularly among Democrats. He's essentially saying, you either choose me or you choose Netanyahu. And I think his hostility to Netanyahu, expressed in many ways, not least having one of his former aides work with an NGO in Israel to support the groups that were challenging, fighting against Netanyahu to prevent his election, is part of it. And I think also distorting, as have much of the media, what it is Benjamin Netanyahu had to say during this rather tough election that he ended up winning in the one democracy in the Middle East, the one place where Arabs are free to vote. And in fact, the Arab coalition of parties in Israel came in third. Now, this is not a great coalition. It includes communists and Islamists. But in Israel, they are free in a way they are not anywhere else in the region. the president gives short shrift to that. I fear that he will, over the days ahead, I hope he'll think better about it, begin to try to undermine support for Israel, and he will not give Israel the support it has had internationally in the past. He is making it appear that America, to use Bernard Lewis's words, is harmless as an enemy and is treacherous as a friend.
Only can translate into more enemies and fewer friends. Cliff May, as always, your perspectives are tremendously appreciated. I thank you so much for the work you do at FDD, and I hope that you will continue it, come back to us again very soon. Next up, George Rassley joins us. We'll be talking politics, including Ted Cruz's announcement that he's running for president. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.